Welcome to Montucky Skies, episode 201. I'm Biggs.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm Jared Leto. I had to come in hard because I missed 200. I'm ready for 201.
It's a celebration of the next 100
episodes. That's right.
Technically, this should be the one that we celebrate, right? Like the century, it goes 01, but like we always celebrate the 00.
That's right.
Because we're Americans, damn it.
And we like nice round numbers.
That's right. If it ends in a 0 or 5, it's time to get down.
That's right. Those are built-in party days.
So you're Jared Leto. Is this because of the Joker picture release?
Yeah, man.
The lamest. I'm sorry. I don't want to be reactionary, but it is lame. It is a lame photo.
Okay.
I hope that's not what they're
Here's
actually doing.
Where I'm at with it.
Because they're trying to honor the Killing Joke, right?
I'm not convinced they're trying to honor anything.
I thought they put it out on like an anniversary of the Killing Joke or something.
It was a 75th anniversary of the Batman number one, where Joker first
shows up. Yeah, 75th anniversary of the Joker. So the thing, I saw the tattoo, and my first reaction with all the tattoos was, you know. And then I thought about it a little bit, and I was like, you know, I'm kind of okay with this. I like that they're going a different direction, like a weird, twitchy, punk rock Joker I can be into. Except for one of those goddamn tattoos I just cannot get over. Did we have to write damaged across the Joker's forehead?
Like,
That's the bridge too far. And because at least with like, even if you don't like the Joker smile on the bicep or like the ha ha ha's up the shoulder or whatever, like at least he'll probably be wearing a shirt most of the time. So whatever. But the goddamn damaged on the forehead, like we couldn't get any more creative than that. That's where we're just like, he's the Joker. His head's all fucked up.
I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
Let's wipe off that damage and write chaos. Is that good enough?
Chaos. Reigns.
Oh, that's too close to that. Chaotic. How about that?
Did you see the...
Right? Nobody will make that connection between Batman being order and Joker being chaos, even though we've talked about it for 75 fucking years.
Someone out there found a picture of a young shirtless Ben Affleck.
Yes.
And like bat tattoos and I'm Batman all over his chest. But the one on top.
Gun. He has
no
like
guns
a gun
great,
with
yeah.
a
and Catwoman on the shoulder. But the one that really killed me was dead parents across the forehead. We're just putting their MO on their brain now.
Although I do got to say, internet, not a good job with the photoshopping Joker thing. Maybe it's because it's not the best to start with, but I felt like Sad Batman had like a great reign of like making fun of.
Yeah.
This one is way less inspiring, I feel like. But then again, you're talking caliber of movie too. I mean, it seems obvious to me that like people are more worked up about Superman and Batman than... you know, a Suicide Squad, which the average person doesn't even know what the fuck that is. So I bet a lot of people saw the Joker photo and they thought it was for
Superman, Batman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bet you anything that the majority of people think that's what it's for.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's trying being a super nerd sometimes, guys.
I'm so sad I got sick during the weekend bonanza of trailers. I was really profoundly upsetting to me.
Well, that leads me to something I want to talk about, because I've been watching all of my TV streaming. Uh-huh. Like I don't have cable. The only time I ever see anything on cable is when I'm in a residence room, and you know, they're not.
It's Fox News.
Yeah. For the most part. Yeah. It's a lot of QVC as well.
Oh, I do love QVC.
No.
What about the TV Guide channel? Where are you at on the TV Guide channel?
They never have it on.
Oh.
I think that's a bridge too far for that. That's more TV Guide channel is more for people in their 50s and early 60s who like don't quite know how to work the guide on the remote, so they watch the TV Guide channel.
I'm just thinking, it's not as if they don't have the time to sit around and wait for it to cycle through. Isn't that the worst part of the TV Guide channel?
Yeah.
When you're waiting for one specific channel and you miss it?
The worst is when you're in like another town.
Yeah.
And you're having to cycle through like 700 channels, like a really big channel.
And you've got and the hotel like, TV, oh my, so the remote only half works anyway.
Like, it only has like maybe 25 channels over 99 digits. Yeah,
and six of them are C-SPAN.
Yeah.
But one of them's porn.
And not on the guide.
No, you got to pay extra for that.
Of course, C-SPAN had a great thing happen over the weekend with the White House Correspondents Dinner.
Oh, yeah. I put that up on the Not Safe for Network page on Facebook, so you should like it to check it out, or just look anywhere on the internet because it's all over.
Yeah, everywhere.
We talk about the Key and Peele Obama thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luther the Anger Translator actually showed up with Obama.
That was really funny.
That's something I wished would happen, but truly believed never would. And I'm just so glad that we have a president who's willing to make fun of himself.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, so I ran into a thread on Facebook. I kind of went ballistic today. This is hearkening back to something we were just talking about on the porch with presidents when I was going off of my LBJ rant, but like I know presidents, and somebody was going off about how because of course they're anti-Obama, it just comes down to that. So of course, like, it's ridiculous that he's making fun of himself, he's wasting time, he should be like manning the White House, whatever, and they go off on this whole spiel, and I was like, that is only a valid argument if you incur that to every single president since TV has come out, because that White House Correspondents Dinner has been going for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. And they always invite comedians, and the president always gives a speech where they make fun of themselves and make fun of the other people. It's like a roast.
And we always get the think piece the day after about whether or not the host went too far.
Yep.
Always, no matter what they say.
Yeah, well, sometimes, every now and then, Don Imus went way
far.
When Clinton had one of his White House Correspondents Dinner, I don't remember what he said, but he said something kind of racist, if I recall.
I can't believe.
And that became a really big deal. He was the number one shock jock at the time. Like, Stern hadn't quite overshadowed Imus yet. Or maybe he did, but Imus was still
Imus was still kicking, because Imus didn't completely go out until the nappy-headed hose incident. That was when it really went.
Well, and he was all over MSNBC at that point. He was doing like a morning show for them. Which, like, why would you even want to see Imus? Well, like, he's not that exciting to hear on the radio anyway, but then you see him and he's just got like just the air of death. Like, you can see fucking flies swarming around him when he was talking.
He doesn't have like a digestive system. It's just angry maggots.
Like, I can understand why people would want to watch Stern when he does a show, because he also does visual things and has crazy looking people on his show.
Yes.
But I don't understand for most radio people why you want to see him. Like, Dan Patrick's show. Like, I like Dan Patrick, but you watch it on TV and you're just like, I mean, they're not really doing anything on the show. They're just talking. Like, I don't see why we have to put cameras into this.
Because everyone has to be a star for 15 minutes.
Yeah, I guess.
I just can't believe how long it took us as a society to realize Don Imus is not the type of person we want to be giving a giant platform to. It took us way too long to discover that.
I mean, when you say us, you mean NBC, right?
I mean the world at large. Okay. We all had a responsibility to band together and say no.
I mean, and that we kind of didn't. And that shit happened like, what, 9 years ago that he got booted off? So
yeah.
It's not like it's Zach's
fresh news.
Zach's hot fresh hot take.
Applying hindsight to the news since 2013.
So what I was going to get at before we wound up on this large, large derivation where we started talking about Don Imus, was I've been looking at all this streaming stuff, and it occurred to me, all of these trailers that we talked about last week, I haven't seen a single one on TV. Now, it's also because I'm streaming, so it's like people, I guess different companies putting in ad revenue. But I want to ask you guys, as cable subscribers, have you seen any of these trailers on TV, or is this just like they just roll it out on the internet and let it
go? No, these are theatrical trailers. So these aren't intended to be on TV. These aren't like the TV clip spots or whatever. The only time you'll see them outside of the internet is if you're actually in a movie theater.
I don't know why I forgot that. That is absolutely insane of me to put that together.
I was really confused about where you were going with that.
I'm just trying to put together my hot take.
Was it common for you to see the theatrical trailers on TV before?
I'm just trying to match your hot take with Don Imus.
Right.
Like, how we shouldn't have a radio show 9 years after he
have a radio show.
That's my defense mechanism kicking in there. But so this leads me into so I went and I bought a brand new Roku box, because I have Sling TV, and it doesn't fucking work on the internet, and I talked to somebody else and it didn't work on the internet for them either. So I know I'm not alone. They're completely.
And if it doesn't work on the internet, that just means it doesn't work.
Well, it does, but it doesn't work on like your PC. I'll put it that way. Like it just did not work at all, and I couldn't get it to work. And I looked through all these help and troubleshooting. I was just about to drop it, and then I thought, well, maybe I'll get the new Roku player because I know there's a ton of stuff you can do on the new ones I haven't been able to do. Because I have one that my mom gave me from like, if I was to guess, I'd say like probably George W. Bush was president when it came out. I'm pretty sure, which means ancient in terms of
the technology has changed just slightly since then.
So I got the newest one, the Streaming 3, whatever. Like it's the brand newest box, which is like $89. Dude, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
They have hundreds, I mean, like hundreds of channels to choose from, which a lot of them are shit. But like,
of course,
I looked at the Sling TV on there and I'm like, oh my God, it's like I have cable again, but way cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
I got history channels, which isn't a thing for me anymore because, you know,
you don't like documentaries about how aliens maybe came or maybe didn't.
Exactly.
Hey, what about Ice Road Truckers?
That's right. All things history. Right? That's Larry. Hey, and plus Larry the Cable Guy.
Ice Road Truckers technically happened in the past.
This is true. By the time they edited it together.
That's right.
I guess technically it's all history. Not the kind of history I want to hear about.
No.
Though. But nope. I'm able to watch my games. I got a couple ESPNs, like TNT. And then I was like, I was so impressed with it on the Roku. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pay for HBO on this.
Yeah.
So I ponied up the extra $15 to get HBO. Fuck, dude, so worth it. Because now I have HBO on demand.
Uh-huh.
And so there's no need for me to watch any stream of HBO anymore. Mm-mm. No, it's just on
it's
demand.
There. It's magically there.
So I watched that. Okay, I'm going to try and get the title right, but I'm not going to get it right at all.
Okay.
Going Clear, the History of Scientology or something like that. Like it's the doc. The
yeah,
really
the Scientology doc.
Controversial as in like they'll probably get the sued shit out of them by Scientologists. It's fucking great, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, like my wife really watched it with me and she's hit or miss with documentaries, but I'm way more hit than she is. She was riveted by it too. Like we sat there and watched it and like there are so many things I didn't know about with Scientology.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, like we can talk about how crazy other religions may be and like say like, well, it's not that crazy, you know, the typical argument right. for Scientology, where it's like, well, if you hold it up against the invisible man in the sky and stuff like that, fine, I'll cede you that argument. But they're fucking vindictive, man. Mm-hmm. And when you realize that like the only way that they hit religious status was they basically
bullied the IRS.
Filed, not only bullied, do you know what they did, what
filed
they specifically
thousands
did?
Of lawsuits.
They filed
thousands.
A lawsuit against every member of the IRS. I mean, everybody. Clerks, everybody.
Interns, janitors, all of them.
Yes. Everybody who was getting a W-2 through the IRS, they filed suit against until they gave them the religious status and then they like dropped all the suits. Them. That's insane that they can like hold our government ransom like that. Like,
there's
that's just crazy.
One thing that they didn't bring up ever in the documentary, for legal reasons, they couldn't because it's outside of one key
fact. Oh, I imagine
fact.
They like quadruple checked everything.
Yeah, outside of one key fact, which cannot be argued, the rest is all speculation. But there's a lot in the documentary that goes into David Miscavige, who's the current head, and he took over at 25 like he was a young, maniacal sociopath upstart.
You get the idea that L. Ron Hubbard was also a psychopath, but
he was a more
benign.
Yeah,
he was
exactly.
just crazy.
Yes.
Like he was crazy and people around him suffered because he was crazy. This is a dude who let mentally handicapped people watch his kid rather than like his mother. And they kept him in a cage,
which generally
in Cuba.
Wow.
So this is something L. Ron Hubbard did.
Yes.
So we're talking about somebody more dangerous than L. Ron Hubbard, who runs the
and
Church of Scientology.
By a heavy
right
margin.
Yeah. Not even close.
His wife has not been seen in years.
Yep.
Just mysteriously disappeared. Now, we all know David Miscavige knows exactly where she is, whether or not she's alive. But they can't say that. So they couldn't bring it up in the documentary.
I wouldn't be shocked if it was a he doesn't want to know exactly where they buried her. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
if we came up with a real truth serum, he probably doesn't know the specific coordinates, but he knows what happens.
That's why you have a conciliary.
That's right.
But it is insane. Like, I highly recommend that documentary to anybody because I knew a lot about Scientology. Dude,
the book it's based on is fascinating.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm definitely going to read it because I realized there was a whole bunch that they couldn't include.
And anyone who's interested but doesn't want to sit down for the whole documentary, although you should, it's not that long.
It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's movie length, but
it's a feature.
Dude, I finished watching. I wanted more.
Like, yes. But say hypothetically you don't and say you don't want to read the book. The author of the book, there's a sort of abbreviated version of the book that came out as an article in the New York Times. That's an interview with Paul Haggis, the director. And
who talks a lot on it.
It's a pretty hefty sized article, but it fills you in with like the major points along the way. The kind of things you want to know.
Yeah, it's
it also goes in a lot to their PR arm and the head of that and all the Sea Org stuff.
Oh, it's crazy, man. The stuff they didn't even like scratch the surface on.
Yeah.
We realize like how much they didn't talk about any of the stuff with South Park, which I was like, that's a gimme, right? Like they have to talk because that stuff where they were talking about the Thetan levels and all that, mm-hmm. or like the whole thing of the Dark Lord Xanu and all that.
Xanu!
Like, most people didn't know about that until South Park. Uh-huh. Like, it was around, but most people didn't know it. Like,
yeah, the specifics were... to the
wide audience.
Yeah.
And so I really thought that would be a... Dude, they were so busy on, like, the really hard shit that they didn't have time to, like, talk about a TV show.
This brings up a movie I now want to do for a box office battle.
What's that?
Battlefield Earth.
Oh my God.
The story of Xenu.
Whenever I talk about that movie, I always crib something I heard Conan O'Brien say, which I love. He said that Battlefield Earth is so bad that when you see somebody die in it, like they just start smiling because you could tell the actor is like, thank God I'm out of this movie.
And collect my paycheck.
Yeah, but the stuff with John Travolta too.
Oh,
is like,
yeah.
Because they basically forward the idea that John Travolta didn't know that there was abuses in the church. And then somebody who's really close to him, who worked with him all the time, like he found out the stuff they did to her. Like they took away her kid and like all this other stuff. But like she wound up, when she goes to leave the church, she found her kid like in this crib, like soaked with like feces and urine, and her eyes were crusted shut. Like she's a couple months old. And just all the stuff. And that was when she was like enough and went to escape. And when John Travolta found that out, like he went batshit and just wanted out. And like they basically blackmailed him to stay in. Like,
yeah, they've got something.
And the fact that they kept that in a documentary makes me really believe it. Because mm-hmm. I don't think anything
that they can't prove. They covered their bases on this one.
Yeah, I really feel like they had to research the shit out of this documentary because you go into it knowing you're gonna get sued.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I just like put hats off to HBO? Like, seriously, man. I never thought I would see a documentary on Scientology in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I never thought it was gonna happen because of the legal repercussions. The fact that they're taking it on and they're not even like a network or anything like that huge. Like they're big, but they're not like NBC, CBS, ABC big.
They're big enough.
Yeah, that's fucking courageous, man, to do that. I can't believe that they greenlit it.
Yeah. Alex Gibney's a hell of a filmmaker. Yeah. All his documentaries are great. And he always goes after the subjects that are most likely to get him in trouble, which I enjoy.
That's kind of what you want in a lot of documentaries.
Yeah, absolutely.
Though. Like, you want them to get to the truth.
That's why The Act of Killing was so fascinating and visceral.
Yeah, I'll never watch it again. We cheated on Real Roulette so we wouldn't have to watch it again.
That's right.
I couldn't do it, man.
No way. My brain could not have handled it.
Yeah, my soul would have exploded. So what do you want to talk about, Brandon?
Let's talk about sex, baby.
I'm getting excited for the new Avengers Age of Ultron coming up.
Oh, yeah.
In less than a week, so that's way up on my radar.
My body's ready.
I do gotta say, this is my other hot take, but I think this is actually like timely. something that really rubbed me the wrong way. So my daughter, outside of Hulk, her favorite Avenger is Black Widow. Uh-huh. Like, no surprise. She's a girl who loves superheroes, so she wants to see, you know, like, her representation up on the screen. Yeah. Like, she wants to see another woman like that. My daughter can kind of put herself onto that character and imagine. Yeah. Out of the hundreds and hundreds of items of merchandising, Black Widow is on exactly three things. And I might add, one of the things is bullshit because it's a game piece for the Infinity game. Mm-hmm. So that really doesn't count.
Yeah, they did the same thing with Gamora in Guardians of the Galaxy, where she just appeared on, like, none of the merchandise.
Yeah, like, my daughter has, like, this super tiny Gamora figure. Mm-hmm. But it's, and so apparently, it's not an official thing, but a Disney executive got heard saying, like, yeah, we make princesses for the girls and superheroes for the boys. And that's fucking bullshit. Like,
yeah, it is bullshit.
I'm sure there's a boy out there who wants a princess toy somewhere. I've never seen the boy. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but there's definitely girls that want the superhero stuff. Mm-hmm. And it makes me mad that it's not there. And furthermore, there's boys that want the females too.
Yeah.
They do, man. Like, Black Widow is a badass character.
True that.
So,
you know, it's interesting you say that, because when we were in Vegas, one of the things my family wanted to do was visit the Disney store in Vegas. So the first day we were there, we walked down to the fashion mall, I guess is what they call it.
For a real second there, I thought you said the fascist mall. I was trying to figure out what exactly that would entail.
Well, they sold a lot of black boots.
A lot of armbands that are red.
Oh, yeah.
Mirrored sunglasses.
And razors to give yourself a crew cut.
That's right. A lot of copies of The Wall.
Walking through there, like, I went in, like, very begrudgingly, like, not wanting to do this, but the kids are into it, the wife's sort of into it. Anyways, so I go in, and that's all the Disney princesses are, like, all through it. And then I finally had this, like, moment of clarity. It's like,
Star Wars
and superheroes. And there's this little corner
where the nerds go. Go away, nerds, to the corner now.
And there's, like, you can't see this, but, like, half the size of the studio wall. And it's like, okay, supposedly they have stuff in here, but I don't want any of this stuff. But actually, they did have a little die-cast Millennium Falcon that looked
That's really pretty dope.
But it's probably way too expensive, I'm
going to
guess.
It was like $25.
Yeah. How big?
It was about 3 inches diameter.
Yeah. Yeah, I could go. That sounds reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah.
For Star Wars.
But I'm like, I'm going to have a tough time getting that back on the plane. So
should have just had your friend Alex take it home.
That's before I had come to the realization that you were able to transport stuff. I didn't have my smuggler in Vegas yet. So.
Yeah, dude. And we got across Nevada in 3.4 parsecs. So
that's not right, damn it.
Well, you know, it's not the Kessel Run. It's a little different. I'm just saying.
There are some minor similarities, I'll admit.
It's more like a tattooing run. Where did they film? I've heard that the set for tattooing is still, like, they just abandoned it, left it. You can visit it.
It's in Morocco.
It's in Morocco. Okay, I knew it was somewhere in Europe, but I was trying to picture
that
where
would
they
be
had
Africa.
Right. So I'm just totally off. I don't know my geography. I never have. Never.
You knew
will.
Presidents, not geography. You had to make a hard call early
on. I know
on.
Presidents, Star Wars, superheroes,
Disney princesses.
I know a little about Imus. Just a handful.
Just enough to have some opinions.
When he gets himself in trouble, I make note of it.
So I can shame him a decade after the fact.
Well, I think I was reaching even farther back. I was going like, well, let's see. We're talking like 93 probably that I was going back to. So I'm talking like 22 years. You went back about 9. That was my hot take. Was like, even more pathetic than yours.
God damn you, Imus. He's the nemesis this podcast needs. We really needed a villain of the story.
That's
and
right.
Imus can fill that hole.
And I go after Rush Limbaugh, but he's still too current.
Yeah, that's not
recording. He's never going away.
That's too soon.
Now, eventually, Sith Lords get thrown into pits.
Like, I was just thinking, sooner or later, I mean, his blood has to be moving so slowly at this point that eventually it's just going to stop and he'll slowly rot away on his chair.
But do you think if they cut open Rush Limbaugh, they'd find thickening coming out of his pits?
I pretty much do, yeah.
But it's, I got to give credit to Matt and Deb for inventing the thickening right there. Okay. It's not that bad.
I believe that you believe that.
Just make sure to use old style or traditional style.
Don't get chunky.
Old world style or whatever it is.
Just like Mama used to make.
Don't get the meat sauce. That was the one I was going to avoid. Matt and Deb were like, that's a really good idea. I was like, no, it's not.
Don't go with four cheese either.
Yeah.
Or the Alfredo. The
four cheese might not be so bad. Oh, I'm definitely going to go, I hate Alfredo.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah. I just don't like Alfredo in general. Not a fan. No, fuck Alfredo.
It. It's a racist sauce.
That's damn my you, Alfredo.
All right, fuck so let's Alfredo. Just recap. We're out on Don Imus, out on Alfredo.
Going way back, I'm out on, was it Aristotle? Which one was it that I didn't like?
I honestly can't remember. I sort of just assume all of them.
I think we're down between Socrates and Aristotle.
And you're out on one of them.
I was out on the wrong one. I remember that. Whichever one was the teacher, I was out on because I thought he was a student. It doesn't matter. This isn't a 200th episode. We're not looking back. We're looking forward.
That's right, to the future. That's Robot right. Don Imus.
Robot Don Imus. Do you think like he's trying to take over all radio right now?
I'm just imagining.
That's why he's succeeding and nobody has
he's
any
idea. He's like Johnny
idea.
Depp in that shitty movie. Yeah. I'm just imagining it's like a movie trailer and Don Imus like puts it up and then he gives you the tagline. One day, robots will learn to hate. And then it's just a sad, old, wrinkly man. But then he turns, and on the other side of his face, there's the little red Terminator eye.
I was just thinking that when you said that. Have you guys seen the trailer for Terminator Genesis?
Yeah.
There's one I haven't seen. That didn't get any buzz because right after that, like, they dropped four other trailers that people cared way more about. I don't know. I could go either way on it based off of that trailer. It's you see young Arnold Schwarzenegger and old Arnold Schwarzenegger. I guess that's the highlight.
That's another one the script leaked on. And it's basically just references, like the entire movie, for at least from that version of the script, is just references to the first two movies, except for now John Connor's a bad guy.
Hold on. So could we have things in it like, so here's my version of the Terminator Genesis using that idea. This is what pops into my head. So like John Connor's like running around and trying to not run into the other John Connor. Like John Connor's about to get... Well, no. Okay. It can't be John Connor because it's... Who is his friend that was in the first Terminator?
Kyle Reese.
Yeah. So they should have Kyle Reese go back in the past and he can't run into the other Kyle Reese. And they have scenes like he's about to like fight the Terminator in one spot and like another Terminator is about to take him out. And then like future Kyle Reese or more future Kyle Reese drops a sandbag on like that guy. On that Terminator so that he can't like kill him. We could have lots of moments like that. Like there's another scene where Kyle Reese needs to get the instruction manual for the TI or T-80 or whatever, but like somebody from the corporation is going to build the Terminator like goes driving through a tunnel with it, so he like follows on a skateboard like sneaks in there to get it and gets in a big fight with him, and then finally at the end when he gets it back, like I don't know, John Connor disappears, and then you see, like, he gets a telegram from like 1860. It's like John Connor be like, I finally got my dream of the Old West. Screw robots.
No robots can get me here until it turns out he's in Westworld.
All of a sudden, all the Terminators turn to steampunk.
I'm just imagining a Terminator.
Steampunk Terminators.
I'm imagining the T-1000, like with the liquid metal knife arm and everything, walking around, and then just a cowboy hat on top.
I love the idea. Let's bring in Robert Zemeckis. They're going at this all wrong. Now, that's the trailer I want to see.
I'm on board with that. So that has my attention.
I will say John Connor being the bad guy, which I kind of, I got the impression of that in the trailer too. I don't remember why, because I don't remember a lot of the trailer now. Like, it wasn't that memorable to me. But I like the idea that he's suddenly a bad guy. It makes it interesting.
I've come to a realization that I've like had about all the John and Sarah Connor story I need. Like, I don't need to run back with those people again. I'd rather see new characters in the same universe. Just personally, I'd rather see that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to pay for this piece of shit. Look, Terminator 2 was like as perfect a Terminator movie as going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think we're going
to
talk about that.
The first one was good. The second one was great. The third one, I still have yet to watch. I've seen little clips on TV, but I just saw the commercials and I'm like, oh, this is going to be fucking bad.
The fourth one's directed by a man named Mick G, so that's all you need to know there.
The fourth one I saw on Blu-ray, and I was like, yeah, this is okay. Like, I wasn't blown away.
And then you never thought about it again?
Yeah. Well, it was just good enough for me to be like, I'll watch the next one, but I'm not going to the theater for that piece of shit. Mm. Like, I'll again watch it for free. Like, I only saw the other one because it, like, what was it, Rise of the Machines? Is that the fourth one?
Was Salvation, wasn't it?
Yeah, Terminator Salvation.
Oh, Terminator Salvation, yeah.
Terminator Dark of the Moon.
Because it was back in the old days of, like, Netflix sending you discs. And so, like, it was like, I don't know, it might have been like in the 30s of what I wanted, and they just had a bad day at the factory and I wound up with Terminator Salvation. So,
and then once you had the disc, you're like, well, shit, I better watch it.
Yeah. Do you ever did either of you guys do the discs with Netflix when that was a thing?
I thought about it and then I was like, no, I don't care that much. Okay. I was just like, it's easier to torrent things.
Yeah, see, I wasn't on the torrent train at this point. But sure.
And still aren't.
Yes.
No, torrenting's bad.
I have, of
which
course, changed my evil ways.
Which is why I don't know
ways.
What happens in episode 4 of Game of Thrones yet. I totally don't know. But anyway, so every now and then, not very often, but once or twice until I figured out how to game the system the way it should be, like I would order something like Dexter. Like, mm-hmm. I caught up on the first couple of seasons of Dexter through Netflix. And I like ordered it, and then I get the wrong one because
it
goes for like one to however many hundreds you put in your queue,
right?
But it goes to the highest on your list that's available, and so I'd have them like stacked in order, and it would like go to that. So what I had to learn to do is like put the one you wanted up mm-hmm. high, and everything else at the fucking bottom of your list or not even on your list, so that it doesn't happen. But I had to learn that lesson like twice, like running through series. So.
And when that happens, the only thing you can do is just burn the files to your computer and send the disc back.
Well, I didn't have a DVD printer at the time, so I really didn't do anything illegal with Netflix, but it was like $8 a month and I got like 3 Blu-rays at a time. It was something like that. It was insanely cheap, so it was totally worth it for me. I'd just gotten a Blu-ray player, so I was excited. I was very excited
to get those discs in.
Movies. Yeah, and that's how I got through the first couple of seasons of Breaking Bad, so that, like, I think the first 3 seasons I watched off of discs, and then joined what everybody else would soon find in the very last season, which was, like, watching it week to week was the best.
Yes, it was.
Like, it's great when you can power through them, but there was just something about, like, that
being
endless
part of
speculation.
That conversation.
Yeah. And the only thing I really feel that with right now is Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is, like, the last consensus show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be the last consensus show ever.
It's certainly possible.
Yeah, it won't be. Empire's already.
Yeah. Empire. Oh, God, Empire.
I haven't watched any of Empire, but I keep hearing about it.
It's a soapy masterpiece. Oh, God, Empire makes me so happy. I was actually, before I came here, I was taking a walk around town because I I got here early, and so I wandered around to kill time until you guys were here. And I went and wandered around. I was just listening to the Empire soundtrack. Just an awkward white dude shambling down a sidewalk listening to rap music. It was a grand old time.
I mean, that's like the majority of the people who listen rap, though.
I mean, this country. At this point, it's the majority of people who watch Empire are like awkward white people.
It's true. I'm pretty sure because the ratings are super good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it couldn't just be like one minority that's coming. I'm not sure like all black people watch one show. I mean,
you can't get any show that to numbers like that with just one demographic. It's impossible. Yeah. Like Game of Thrones isn't one demographic.
No, Game of Thrones is a lot of people, which is why you have... Which one was with Obama the other night?
Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why Keegan was like... referencing Hillary Clinton as a Khaleesi just got back to Westeros. That was fucking great. Have you been keeping up on Game of Thrones?
I have been, although I haven't watched tonight's yet.
I haven't watched tonight's
Me neither. I haven't watched tonight's leaked. Or next week's. No idea, so don't even ask. I have no idea.
When the first four leaked, I actually procured them through one method or another. And I never sat down and watched them. It turned out that I would rather wait week to week. I was just like, I have them all, but that's not the way I like to enjoy this show.
My wife was, she likes to watch anything as soon as it's available, and I'll leave it at that. But now I pay for HBO, so I don't even care. Like, I basically just found a way to never torn again, because I now pay for everything I watch, which is what I would have done from the beginning if they'd given me those options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know, because I can't afford cable. Like, even all the stuff I'm paying for, I get what I want now, and...
A la carte.
It's
where it's at.
Way cheaper than cable. It's so much better.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
I'm a big fan of internet streaming services. I've become a complete cord cutter. Like, I do not buy discs anymore. I'm out on it. I just like to stream things now.
Well, yeah, I keep looking at discs. I'm like, do I really want to buy that? Like, the only thing I really have, it's either if it's at a pawn shop. Or if it's like a Marvel thing, I'll really think about it. But that's where I feel like the conflict inside of me. Like, I keep seeing the Thor Dark World, and I keep debating in my head whether I want to pay for it or not.
Do you do the move where you grab it from the shelf and hold it and walk around the store for a little bit? Yep. Like, holding it and just like, am I going to get this? I guess I won't know till I'm at the register.
Swear to God, I've done that 3 times with Thor Dark World and haven't grabbed it. But I think it's a matter of time.
You know what I've been doing a lot lately is I'll buy a Blu-ray, but I just buy it for the download code
for the
Vudu. And then I just stream it because I can just click. And
it's so much easier that way.
Yeah.
And I just put the Blu-ray in the corner
and never think about it again.
Yeah. So I have a lot of movies. I own it. I bought it. But I don't actually watch the discs.
Yeah. I sold some of my codes to somebody.
Oh, nice.
I was like pawning it at a pawn shop when I was short of money a while ago. And this is probably like a year ago. And the guy's like, dude, you got all these codes. I'll buy them from you. I'm like, really? Yeah, okay. He's like, really? You don't care? I'm like, no, I don't watch them. I'm like, I have the Blu-ray, man.
Yeah.
Now I kind of regret it. Because I just found out what that channel does that I can't erase from my Roku. Just this moment that Brandon told me.
Oh, it's great. And you can watch it on your phone or anywhere.
Voodoo's great.
It's great.
Yeah, I don't want to watch movies on my phone, though. I've done that. I don't like it.
It's not ideal.
No.
Yeah, it's too small for me. I can do it on a tablet.
A tablet's as low as I'll go.
Yeah. And I'm still not thrilled with it on a tablet, but there's situations where it's really nice on a tablet.
I will still watch the shit out of trailers on my phone, though. Trailers are perfect for phones. It's as if they were designed for a smartphone.
Do we even use the term smartphone anymore?
Are they just phones now?
I feel like that got tossed off the side, like the term razor.
Well, I still say smartphone.
Okay. Well, that's going to show your age in like 10 years.
That's going to catch up with me real quick.
Yeah, they're going to be like, every phone that's come out for the last 15 years is a smartphone, Zach.
They're just phones now.
I keep waiting for the term phone to be dropped, but yeah, I feel like phone is here to stay.
On the phone front, so we've had rent going on at the Myrna Loy Center for the past couple weekends, and...
Oh, are you guys having a hard time making rent?
We're not going to pay the rent.
I'm going to pay the rent in 15 days, 14 hours, 13 seconds.
So... this was on Friday night. The show's going on. We get done with intermission, and I'm just sitting dicking around with the staff, like telling jokes and waiting for them to finish up, right? And a cop walks in, and I go, "Oh no, we've been caught." And I didn't know what we did yet. I just assumed we did something. Now, like they sent in someone to buy booze and we were in car or something.
I'm going to guess because you were sitting around with the cast of Rent and because I don't remember much about Rent, even though I saw it on a HBO TV movie in the early 2000s, I'm going to guess that techno music started playing and he threw off his clothes and it was in a G-string.
Well, actually, I was not with the cast of Rent. They were performing. This is right after intermission. So they're in the second act and I'm with my staff.
Was it a fire marshal thing?
No, so the cop comes in and he goes, "We've been getting multiple 911 calls from this building." I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Multiple. We need to make sure everyone's okay." And I was like, "There's a show, like nothing's going on. We're all fine. Like it's just us three out here." And I was like, "Oh, I bet it's someone with their phone hitting the emergency call button in their pocket." Right. And so he's like, "Well, good. So there's not been a fight or anything." That was his first thing. He's like, "So there hasn't been a fight." And I was like, "In a freaking community theater musical, no, there hasn't been a fight." But he's like, "Well, you go in there and check for me." So I have to walk into the auditorium and everyone's eyes forward straight. Right.
And you had to like interrupt the play?
No. So I just come back out and I'm like, "Listen, man, every single person in there is eyes front, not moving. Like they're just sitting and watching." And he's like, "Okay, fine." So he leaves. So I go back in there and I see from someone's pocket, the lit up screen through there. And you can't see it other than the screen is lit up. And I'm just like, "This fucker's been on 911 for the last 20 minutes.
Did you say anything to him?
After the show, I was like, "Hey, did you know your phone was on a call with the cops the entire second act?" And he was like, "Really? No, come on." And he looks and he's like, "Huh, I'm going to have to deal with this." Shut up.
Oh, that sucks. You know, and I didn't understand how that could happen until recently because the piece of shit phone that I got now that my other phone is lost in the desert in Nevada somewhere by a Joshua tree, I think. The phone that I got now, the fucking on-off button, which also is like the blackout screen, back-on screen
right
button, is so fucking sensitive that I just put it in a pocket and it flips on all the time. Like I was never a dude who ever butt dialed somebody ever. And I'm like terrified that it's going to butt dial at the exact wrong moment. And not even butt, cause I don't put it in my butt, but you know what
you're going to cock dial.
I'm probably going to shirt pocket dial while I'm at work. That's what I'm afraid of, is it's going to call work while I'm at work and I'm just going to be talking shit about my boss or something. I'm terrified at the idea. What happened, Brandon?
The dog just chewed through the cord.
You're fucking kidding me.
As we speak, it happened?
Bad dog!
How did none of us notice?
That dog doesn't understand that I don't have money.
Mira?
Good thing is it's just the extension cable. It's not the headphones, but...
Dude, I'm sorry, man. I'll buy you another one.
Mira, I'm going to make a new...
dog.
I'm going to make a new cable out of her tendons.
God damn it.
PETA, relax. We're kind of joking.
Kinda.
This is a nightmare.
Do 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 do.
Can I pause this now?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're back.
I don't know why I paused it because we're 43 minutes. I didn't know until I looked down.
All right, let's do one last speed run of our hot takes.
Okay, Bill Walton was a fucking asshole in 1978. How do you leave the Trailblazers like that? You fucking prick. What, your body breaks down? So you break down another window? For the only fucking real window for the Trailblazers? Fuck you, Bill Walton. There's my hot take. Because I'm looking at Walton jersey.
My last hot take is about the time that Brian Williams and I went to Coachella, and he told me he drank 45 beers and made out with Chaka Khan, and he turns out he was totally full of shit.
Nah, what an asshole, dude. Is that Louis Farrakhan's sister?
You nailed it.
I just crib it off of something Zach said earlier. Take it easy.
My hot take, how did they make Godfather 3? Why? Why would you do this? Godfather 2 was a masterpiece, and then you followed up with Godfather 3. Why would you do that?
We can't just cut it off right here. We need to talk about Godfather 3 for a minute. Okay, I know that people like to say that Francis Ford Coppola's daughter, Sofia Coppola, is that right?
Yeah,
Sofia Coppola ruined Godfather Part 3. It's fucking true, dude. She fucking ruined that movie. Here's the thing. It was never going to be on par with Part 1 and 2. But if you take out her performance, it's not a bad movie. It's just a subpar movie. Well, no, it's a good movie, but it's not a bad movie. You put her in it, it's a bad fucking movie. Mm-hmm. It's like she's reading green screen the entire time. I don't even know that existed during Godfather 3. You're not having George Lucas shit happen around you, Sophia.
Here's how you know someone really takes away from a movie. If they are in a serious drama, and the movie would be better if you replaced that actor or actress with Miss Piggy, then that is not a great performance.
I mean, there were subtle other problems with that. Al Pacino's hair is horrible in this movie. And I'm not a person who usually focuses on hair, but it's like they took a toupee and then put mousse on it and made it go straight up. And he does, it is screamy Al Pacino. He's clear, post Scent of a Woman. Scent of a Woman is a great movie, but that ruins Al Pacino. There's a divergence line.
That's what happened is we rewarded him for that movie, and he's like, oh, I should do everything like that now. Yeah,
he didn't say it like that. He said, I'm going to do it just like this from now on. Because that's what he learned, as you were trying to say.
He had trouble hearing his own dialogue, and that's the only way he can remember his cues, is to shout it at his co-stars.
But he does have a great line in it, which is, he goes, every time I get out, they pull me back in, which is a great line. It's actually a great line. People forget that's from Part 3 because it's such a great line. But then they have the shitty part where he just regurgitates shit that his dad says, where he's like, our true enemy hasn't revealed himself yet. And I'm like, why?
Your
why
true
that
enemy,
line, dude? Nobody says that line naturally.
And their true enemy had revealed itself. It was nepotism the whole time.
Well, but nepotism, you can't just blame it on nepotism, because the first two Godfather, soaking with nepotism.
So much nepotism. I mean,
yeah.
It's a franchise built on nepotism, yeah, if we're being honest.
Francis Ford Coppola was the director. His great uncle did the score, or modernized the score, whatever he did with it. He's the one that put together the Godfather waltz and the entire score, right? His daughter, Sophia, because she couldn't act, played Michael Corleone, or Michael Corleone's kid, in the whole scene where they're doing his, what do they call it, the Catholic people, the baby, the baptism. Does his baptism, there's all the people dying everywhere. That's Sophia Coppola not ruining the movie. There's Sophia, Francis Ford Coppola's sister is, I can't even remember her name.
I mean, in some ways, the movies themselves are about nepotism.
Yeah, they kind of are. Yeah, they really are. So that works for the other two. It's just Sofia Coppola was so bad. And I guess the story is that it was supposed to be Winona Ryder, and she dropped out at the last minute. And so
other actresses.
Yeah. Well, and Francis Ford Coppola basically justified this by saying that, you know, he wrote it about his daughter. So when she dropped out, he thought, well, I might as well have my daughter in it. I don't believe that. I don't believe that was about his daughter for a second.
And if it is, he has a super weird opinion about his daughter.
But one thing that he did say, which I find interesting, and it could have been a shit show or it could have been great, and I'm not sure. I'm erring on the side of shit show, but I don't know. He talked about what would have been Godfather 4 if Godfather 3 would have been better off. And so he would have done, because he talks about this in the commentary for Godfather 3, because I've, listened to all the commentaries multiple times. That's right. I sat through the Godfather 3 commentary multiple times. That's what a Godfather fan I am. But so his idea for Godfather 4 would have been, they would have followed, so it was Sonny's son, Sonny's illegitimate son. I can't remember his name in it, but
Jon Snow.
Yeah, Jon Snow from Godfather 3. He's the one who winds up taking over for Michael when Michael finally gives him the ring, has him kiss it and all that, and then that guy becomes the Don. So it was gonna cover him being the Don during the era of cocaine and Miami and all that kind of stuff. And then they were going to cut between scenes of that and Sonny Corleone making his bones for his father, back. So it would have been the early 40s, late 30s, somewhere around era. And so it would have juxtaposed between those, Godfather 2 juxtaposed between, De Niro and Pacino. Mm-hmm. Dude, that could have actually worked.
There are ways that could have worked.
Yeah. I don't know the concept of it totally could have worked as long as they kept Sofia Coppola out of it. But she died at the end of 3, yeah, so I think it could have worked.
It's one of those things that I don't know that we would have ever needed to see that story. That it would have added something we didn't get from the rest of the franchise, but it definitely would have been interesting and probably would have landed the franchise on a better note than it has been on.
I mean, and that's where I'm coming from. It would have landed the franchise on a better note.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that being said, all the hate I just spilled out for Godfather 3, let me tell you what is good about Godfather 3. So one thing specifically, the scene at the very end where you see Michael, after his daughter dies, and he's doing a silent scream because they cut away and just, tone up the music so you don't hear him scream. But they cut away and they show him, really old, and he's by, an orange field and stuff, or by a field his dad was, and he's carving an orange. And then he just fucking drops down and dies while he's in his seat. And that's it. But he dies alone.
Yeah.
That's the whole point is, his father was loved by everybody, and that was a theme in Godfather 2, because his father built the empire and did it out of necessity, whereas his son has to maintain it and he's losing his family maintaining it. The end of the third one was truly he dies alone because he has his chance to atone for his sins, and he atones, he loses his daughter from the atonement, and yet there's this whole thing that they don't show that, clearly he didn't make amends with any of his family after that. He just completely fucked everything up. And I kind of like that. At the end, Michael Corleone pays for his sins. So that's the one thing I will say that I like. I like the reckoning on that.
I just love, that's a long way of saying, you know what I like about that movie? The ending.
When it fucking ended. When Sofia Coppola died in the movie. Or whatever a character name was. All right, I'm sorry, but you've mentioned Godfather. You knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I kind of stepped into that one.
You had to at least retroactively known. All right, any final thoughts? I only went off for 9 minutes, so it wasn't that bad.
I think I'm going to get whiny tattooed across my forehead because I want to make sure my essence is revealed to the world.
All right, take it easy. Not safe for network. So when you get the actual script in your hands, how is it that you memorize everything?
I mean, there's you write the first letter of each word.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Sure, yeah. And that's great for Robert Downey Jr., but
for Robert Downey Jr.
That just gets me so confused.
RDJ.
So RDJ. We won't be seeing you in an Iron Man suit anytime soon.
Well, not on stage. In my off time, maybe. But I don't know what you're doing in my bedroom, so please leave.
That's debatable.
I think the way we argue matters. The more diverse populations we have to argue with, the better. the internet, it gives you a lot of zealotry and a lot of that insane, you know, 9/11 was an inside job or the moon landing never happened or whatever. But, you know, if we could look at the flip side of that too, you get a whole bunch of information that gets to fly around the world in a heartbeat and all of a sudden everybody knows the same damn thing.
We had a good life.
Is talking about the Juggalo community on the podcast so publicly as we do,
yeah,
does that set us up as a target in the future potentially?
It's as much of a threat as a dirty 400-pound topless woman like running at you from a couple hundred yards away can be. You know what I mean?
This is family over here.
Family.
Box office battle.
If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon.
Shooting the show.
My parents always stocked up on ramen. They didn't really know how much I ate. And I would actually scrounge up change and go to the store and buy more ramen so it didn't look like I ate as much.
Eric.
That's what alcoholics do. My mom should have never taught me how to make it.
Yeah, you had a problem.
The Alien Movie Project.
The aliens crash a kid's birthday party, basically.
Which, again, I think supports the frat aliens notion. Oh, God, where am I? Oh, guys, hey, is there anything to drink at this party? You guys.
You guys, I'm going to have some of this cake.
Hey,
if I cut this cake?
Can I open this? Are you going to wear that hat?
I'm just going to take some of this cake.
Montauk Skies.
By the way, his character trait is he constantly pulls out stomach acid pills. What do you call it? Like Pepto-Bismol or something? And he just constantly chews the pills every time something comes wrong. He's like, just chewing the pain.
Can
pills.
I just say, I
washes
appreciate...
them down with a cup of coffee.
I appreciate the subtlety used by saying his character trait, because we know this is the type of movie where each character gets one trait.
Find all our podcasts on iTunes. Not safe for network.